Greetings in the name of Jesus. Blessings to you all. Last week's fuel, we talked about having faith in Jesus' name. Well, this week's fuel is about finding Jesus in it. Now, there are many things going on in our lives and in the world at the same time. There are many things that we have no control over, and many things we can't control. You know, we can't control the weather, someone's vocabulary, what they're saying, the traffic lights that turn red and green. You know, there's many things out there we just have no control over. But you know, we can't control our attitude, our beliefs, and our actions. Let's look at the word actions. Now that's a mouthful of word in itself. No matter what someone does or says, we ourselves are responsible for our own actions. Remember when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sinned in the garden, and Adam said, "That woman you gave me," and Eve said, "I was tricked by the serpent." You know, we read that the Lord addressed each of them for what they did, and you can find that in Genesis chapter 3, verses 12 through 11. So life comes fast. Things in life come fast. How do we respond? You know, what goes into the response or actions that we take? Is it our feelings? Is it our emotions? Could it be the finances, the situation, circumstances? You know, there's many things out there that goes into our response or the actions that we take. No matter what, we, as children of God, need to find Jesus in it. Imagine the focus that will come from it. Imagine the strength that will come from it. Imagine the good that will come from it. From what? Finding Jesus in it. Think about it. Our focus is now on the one called Jesus who said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So we're looking for Jesus in the situation no matter what. No matter how bad it is, no matter how it looks and feels and seems, we got to find the Lord in it. Now, it could have been a worse situation, yeah. But because Jesus had his hand over our lives, it wasn't. Blessings in disguise. Time to recognize the hand of God in our lives. Amen. So let's go to Genesis chapter 37, and we'll be in Genesis 37 and 39, but we're going to go 37 first. Verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. But Joseph brought a bad report to them, to his father, or of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Verse 14. Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron. And when he went to Shechem, now a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are, feeding the flocks." And the man said, "They have departed from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers, and they found him in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, 'Some wild beast has devoured him.' We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they had stripped Joseph of his tunic. The tunic of many colors was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing spices, balm, myrrh, on the way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. The Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit. And indeed, Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The lad is no more. And I, where shall I go?" Verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "It is my tunic's, my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. All right, now let's look at this. They conspired to kill their own brother. Why? Because of jealousy. These guys, his own brothers, had their own plans on how to deal with Joseph, the dreamer. See, these are not good thoughts towards anyone, let alone your own brother. Man, they were going to stop those dreams from coming to pass one way or another. But you see, they didn't understand that Joseph didn't give himself that dream. Joseph didn't make that dream up. That dream came from the Lord about something that's going to happen in the future. Now, the Lord sends a dream and a message of something that's going to happen. You're not going to stop it. Now, think about this for a minute. We're finding Jesus in it, right? Let's go to verse 21. It says, "But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands. And he said, 'Let us not kill him.' And Reuben said, 'Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit.'" Remember Reuben said that? You see, so we find the Lord in it when Reuben said, let us not kill him. Now, remember, there's 10 older brothers in Joseph. He's 17. His younger brother, Benjamin's not there. Because remember, there's 12 of them. But there's 10 older brothers. All but one. So you think about this. 10 older brothers and 9 wanted to take him out and 1 didn't. Outnumbered? Would you say they're outnumbered? Of course, on the surface it looks and appears that they are outnumbered. But you see, with God, nothing is impossible, as it tells us in Luke 1:37. You see, the power and timing of the Lord is incredible. Why? Because the Lord is in it. Joseph's life was spared. Now remember, Reuben's plan was to what? Take him back to his dad. Reuben's plan was to take him back to Israel. But the other 9 had different plans. Now, can you think about this? If Reuben was there, what would have happened? What would have transpired? We don't know. We're not going to assume and we're not going to guess. But we know that Jesus is in it. The Lord is in it. So they got a bright idea. You know, verse 27 says, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Whose idea? That was Judah's. Judah has an idea. And wants to sell his brother, and the rest of these guys agreed. But Reuben wasn't there. Remember, Reuben was the one who said, don't kill him. I got to take him back to dad. Why? Because Reuben is the oldest. He's the eldest son. How is he going to return and the youngest doesn't return? See, there was something about that in those days. Verse 29 tells us, then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not there. He tore his clothes and he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more, and where shall I go? Because Reuben understood, I'm the oldest. I'm responsible for this young guy. Where is he? Where is he? Now, the brothers knew what happened. They knew what they did. So we move on, and the word tells us that they took Joseph to where? Egypt. And again, we find the Lord in it. You see, the Lord needs Joseph to be in Egypt for what's going to happen there in the future. Now, honestly, how do we see it that way? You see, because on the surface, here's a 17-year-old kid that was hated on by his brothers. He was sold and taken to a whole different land, a foreign land, by the way. How does this look good on the surface? How does this look like this is the Lord's allowing this to happen? But you see, we don't understand everything about how the Lord does things. The Word does us what? The Lord works in mysterious ways. But let us go back into time through the scriptures. And we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 12 through 16. We're going back to see, well, how does this even make sense? Verse 12 of Genesis chapter 15 says, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. You see, the Lord has his timeline. Man has his timeline, but the Lord has his timeline, which is more important, which will prevail over man's timeline. That's why you see these things going on in the world now, where man has his ideas about that. And remember, they're being influenced by Satan. Satan wants to move things up. But the Lord says, no, in my time, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen in my time. You see, the Lord tells Abraham what? The future of what's going to happen. Now get this, it's not that it might happen. No, it's going to happen. The Lord knows the end from the beginning and vice versa. His words in Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, you know what that means, the beginning and the end. You see, the word of the Lord spoke to Abram is going to come to pass just as he said. Do you see how the Lord is in it? Now you see how that's beginning to make a little sense when they take the 17-year-old hated by his brothers and sold. This has to take place, you guys. Joseph needs to be in Egypt for this thing. So what the Lord allows to happen for his will and his purpose to be done? Again, we may not understand it and we won't understand it unless he explains it to us, unless he gives us revelation on why he did what he did. But, you know, I just go to when Jesus, when they say, hey, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom and this to Israel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times the Father has set by his own authority. See, we ain't supposed to be focusing on that. And you hear so much about end time this, end time that. Jesus is coming back and this and this and that. He told us we're not supposed to be focusing on that. We're supposed to be doing what he put us here to do. Are we living the life that Christ gave us to live? Are we praising and glorifying his name? Are we living lives so that the heathen can see him through us and get themselves saved as well? You see, the word talks about Jesus coming back for his bride, unblemished, his bride. Jesus is not coming back for a weak side chick. He is not coming back for a weak side chick. He is coming for his unblemished bride. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, again, on the surface, these things happen to Joseph. It's just tough to swallow. I mean, look how it's going to affect things. His dad's in mourning for a son that's actually alive. He's not dead, but his dad thinks he's dead, you know, because of the lie that his sons came up with. He's a young teen in a foreign land with no family, among the other things that pops up. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Verse 1 says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Does that sound like Deuteronomy 28:1-14? Hallelujah. Verse 6. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Verse 11 says, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Y'all, boy got out of there. He got out of there, didn't he? You see, you begin to do well. You know, you're doing things for the Lord, and the opposition is still against you. It's still coming up against you. But you see, it doesn't matter. Why? Because the Lord is in it. Now, Joseph was given a way out. What was his exit called? Well, it was called morals. My man had some morals. He stood on his morals because he said back in verse 9, "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor he, nor has he kept back anything from me. But you, because you are his wife, he's kept you from me." Why? Because you're his wife. He said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? God. How can I lie with you and sin against God?" You see, his exit was his morals, his morals. He escaped by his morals. He said, "How can I sin against God?" And he got out of there. But the wife wants to take Joseph down. She's not happy about that. She got rejected. She is not happy with that. You see, you guys, we got to watch out for those who are not happy because you stand on your morals according to the word of God. The enemy can't stand it. He's against it. He's upset. He's not happy about it. So what? He's going to try to come after you and try to get you. But don't you worry about it. You just find the Lord in it. You see, you stand on God's word, even if the world rejects you for it. Even if man rejects you for it, you stand on the word of God. He's got you. He told me to say it again. He's got you. Now, verse 10 says, "And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, 'See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice.' And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." Now, you guys, we know that's a lie because we read what happened. But you see her side of the story? You see how they will lie on you and against you? But you still stand. You still stand. Even when they lie on you, you still stand. Verse 16. "So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused." You see, now you're talking about a man's wife. "I know you're doing all this good for me, but now you're talking about the possibility of you messing with this man's wife." Yeah, that's why this guy got angry. He believed his wife. Yeah, she was lying. But come on, you guys, let's be real. He's going to believe his wife first. So he believes his wife. Verse 20. "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph and committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look to anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Now, how y'all like that? I don't care. My man was in Potiphar's house. The Lord made him prosper. He was in prison. The Lord made him prosper. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Why? Because the Lord is in it. The Lord is in it. Joseph's in jail for something he didn't do. Yeah, he is. But we got to find the Lord in it. Genesis 39, 2 through 4 says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. Remember, this was a 17-year-old kid coming in, and he was sold against his will. But now we see him over the captain of the guard's house. He's over the prison. Why? Because the Lord is in it. The Lord is speaking to us right now. Regardless of your situation, you look for him in it. Look for Jesus in it right now. Quit looking at everything else. How you got there. Why you're there. Why is this happening? No. Look to Jesus and find him in it. Find him in it. The word says, our help comes from above. That's where you look. See, Joseph is an outsider. But again, look at what the Lord can do. Even if you're an outsider, look at what the Lord can do. Why? Because he's in it. Joseph is what? He's a successful man. Come on, it says all he did prospered. He had favor in a foreigner's sight, this Egyptian. He's a Hebrew. He's getting favor in the sight of an Egyptian. Oh, and by the way, he's the overseer with authority. How can that be for this little Hebrew kid? The Lord is in it. The Lord is in it. That's how. You see, the Lord cannot be stopped or denied by man or anything out there because he is God Almighty. Hallelujah and amen. He is the Lord God, and there is none like him. God's purpose, God's will, may it prevail. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's fast forward to Genesis chapter 45. Pick up verse 1. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept out loud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years of famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord to all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen and you shall be near to me. You and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There, I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. Verse 12, and behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen. And you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this. Load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded to do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Verse 21, then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh. And he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all them, to each man, changes of garments. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Verse 25, then they came out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is the governor over all of the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Amen. Now, let's go find the Lord in it. Verse 5. Verse 5 says, but now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. You see, God sent him, no matter how it appears, no matter what we think, God sent him. Joseph was sent by God. See, it may not appear that way back in Genesis 37, did it? No, it didn't look like that. Come on, what these guys did to him? Verse 6 says, for these 2 years, the famine has been in the land. There are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. Joseph said, there are still 2 years, or we're in year 2, but there's still 5 more years of this stuff. How did Joseph know this? Well, simple. The Lord is in it. Remember, he showed him a glimpse of the future in that dream. Back when he was 17, he got this dream. You see, the Lord knows everything about everything. There is no hiding from him. There is no hiding from him. God's will be done. Amen. You see, the truth comes to light when Joseph says to his brothers in verses 7 and 8, and God sent me before you to preserve. Verse 8, so it was not you who sent me here, but it was God. You see, God sent him. God sent him. He says, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh. Who? God has. He has made me Lord of his. He's the Lord of his house. Because of the Lord. He's ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Why? Because the Lord is in it. So you, child of God, don't forget to acknowledge the Lord. Why? Because he is in it. He is in it with you. He is in it. Don't be so quick to give the enemy credit. You see, your situation's outcome could be a testimony to the living God, his son, Jesus Christ. Find Jesus in it. Look for him. Look for him in that strange and awful circumstance. You see, this is bigger than us. Have faith in Jesus and in his word, for it gives life and can make one whole. You guys, there are things coming that we don't know about yet. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But you know what? We're not to worry or fear. Why? Because Jesus is here. Don't be moved by what you see and what you hear of what's going on in the world today. Stay in the Word of God. You see, the Word of God has all the answers that we need to fulfill our destinies as we walk and talk and live for the Lord. Find Jesus in it, regardless of what it is, and give him praise, give him honor, and give him glory. Find Jesus in it. Hallelujah. I pray that you find Jesus in it, in every situation that comes your way, and that your faith increases with belief and trust in the Lord. Amen. Pastor signing off. Have a great week. In Jesus' name.